It's a pleasure to once again introduce Rav Carmel, who I've had the pleasure of spending Shabbat with. Rav Carmel is the dean of Eretz Chemda in Israel. It's really the premier kollel for the training of dayanim, representing the hashkafa of religious Zionism and modern Orthodoxy, and it's really very intense. A program graduating major Talmidei Chachamim who serve in all aspects of Israeli society. They also have a program for Rabbanim in Chutz La'aretz to do training in Geirut and Gittin. And the Shailot V'Tshuvot, they have 8 volumes now of Marei HaBazak. I think they're working on the 9th volume. I love the Shailot V'Tshuvot. They have a whole committee, very fascinating questions, very much thing in the modern world. So Rav Carmel is the head of Eretz Chemda. He served in the Yom Kippur War and the first Lebanon War. Served, of course, in the Israeli Army, and he's also an expert in Tanakh. He combines the classical learning of Gemara and Tanakh. And as I just mentioned, he wrote a book on Yeshayahu, published by Magid Press. I heard him on Shabbos morning give a very interesting shiur on the comparison, the way how the building of the Mikdash and Yeshayahu Shlomo, everything very. There's expertise in Tanakh, all the Magid books are wonderful, so if you'd like to purchase one, they're available outside. And without further ado, it's really a pleasure and an honor to be graced with such a Talmid Chacham and a really fine, you know, person. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Kelman. It really was a wonderful weekend here. I must tell you that Rabbi Kelman is not only a Torah scholar and know how to organize the Torah learning. The food at his home is also excellent. And thank you to you and to Ilana, and it's a pleasure to be with you. If we will take a look on Sefer Dvarim, the Torah is starting, and as you can see, at source number 1, the papers are in the desk in the entrance. So in source number 1, we can see the psukim from Sefer Dvarim. The first parshiya, everyone is calling it Parshiyat Zaken Mamre, but it's really not Parshiyat Zaken Mamre. This parshiya is dealing with a place, without mentioning the name of the place, which will be in the future the center of Jewish life for all the Jews. And the authority of making halachic decisions is to the people who are sitting there. This is the reason that if somebody is going against this center, he is under the title Zaken Mamre. But in general, this parshiya is making the makom, the place, we don't know where is this place, the center for the Jewish nation in Eretz Israel. And then, the Torah is continuing with what we call Parashat HaMelech. In Parashat HaMelech, we have 3 major mitzvot, which is specific for the king. The 3 mitzvot is לא ירבה לו סוסים, לא ירבה לו נשים, וכסף וזהב לא ירבה לו מאוד. And in first glance, it's really something strange. We want a Jewish state. It was a dream most of the history of the Jewish nation. Today, thank God we have. If we are looking in the Torah and to find the answer to the question, how to manage a Jewish state, in first glance, it looks that there are no any mitzvot regarding the state. And if we are speaking about the king as a person, and these mitzvot are personal mitzvot, it's very strange. Lo yerbe lo susim. What is so important regarding the numbers of the cars in his garage? How many cars can somebody drive? Soon no one will drive the car. It will be the Israeli invention. So why the Torah is putting such attention to the number of the horses? Second, lo yerbe lo nashim. You know that one of the most worst situations for every man is to have more than one wife. One wife is paradise, two wives is hell. You know, there is no any, and I'm saying it with all the responsibility, there is no any source in the Torah, in the Nevi'im, in the Ketuvim, in Chazal, which recommend more than one wife to one man. Always, it's troubles, as the Torah is saying and calling it Tzara. So, why it's so important to limit the numbers of the wives of the king? This is the most important thing that the Torah is telling the king. We have a list of very important things to teach him before speaking about his private life. וחסב וזהב לא ירבה לו מאוד. It's not good that the king will be rich. Maybe it's better. You cannot pay him under the table. The stories regarding envelopes with the money is not a new story. Ask Richard Gere. I'm sure that you hear about the new Israeli film, Norman. This is not a new story. It's an old story. So we want that the king will be independent. And what is so important to tell us, וכסף וזהב לא ירבה לו מאוד. We want him to be independent. Bloomberg was a very good mayor. Barkat is a very good mayor. They didn't take any penny from the city. Why not? If we want to understand it, it's very interesting what Rav Yoel Binun found about 40 years ago, that the first one to write a commentary on Sefer Dvarim was Yeshayahu. And Yeshayahu is going and he is holding Sefer Dvarim in his hand and is giving us his view how to learn Sefer Dvarim. And let's take a look on Sefer Yeshayahu, source number 2. הדבר אשר חזה ישעיהו בן עמוס אל יהודה וירושלים. והיה באחרית הימים, יהיה הר בית השם בראש הערים, ונישא מגבעות ונערו אליו כל הגויים. והלכו עמים רבים ואמרו, לכו ונעלה אל הר השם, אל בית אלוהי יעקב, ויורנו מדרכה ונלכה באורחותיו, כי מציון תצא תורה ודבר השם מירושלים. ושפט בין הגויים, והוכיח לעמים רבים, וחיתתו חרבותם לעיתים וחניתותיהם למזמרות, לא יישא גוי אל גוי חרב ולא ילמדו עוד מלחמה. ישעיהו is teaching us his interpretation to the words of the Torah. First of all, he is telling us what is the place who is supposed to be the center for Jewish life, which the Torah is not mentioning. He is saying this is Yerushalayim. This is Zion. This is Har HaBayit. It's not written in the Torah. Yeshayahu is telling us, where is it? But Yeshayahu is doing something more interesting. Yeshayahu is taking Yerushalayim from the Torah, which is the center of the Jewish nation, and he makes it the center of the world. It's a big revolution to do something like this. The Torah is saying that Yerushalayim is the center for the Jewish nation in Eretz Israel. Yeshayahu is telling us, no, Yerushalayim will be the center of all the world and not only for Jews. Yes, it will be a Jewish place. It is the center of Jewish life, but it will be the center for all the world to look for a connection with Torah, a connection with God, a connection with Elohei Israel. This is a very big chiddush of Yeshayahu. And think about it, today, it's very easy to understand why Yerushalayim is so important not only for Jews, but also for Christians, and even for Muslims. And we are speaking now about half of the world. But in the time of Yeshayahu, it was such a big chidush. Everyone around was an idol worshiper. What do you have to look for in Yerushalayim? And it's very interesting that Yeshayahu is using the language and the terms of Sefer Dvarim when he is giving us his prophecy. Take a look on the tavla. I took the words of Sefer Dvarim, I put in the other side the words of Yeshayahu, and it is really using the same words, the same terms, the same melody. And now we are curious to see what is the interpretation of Yeshayahu to Parashat HaMelech. If he is really become a mefaresh of Sefer Dvarim, we want to understand what is his interpretation to Parashat HaMelech. And if we will take a look on the next psukim in Sefer Yeshayahu, and you will take a look on the chart, on the tavla, on the second page, source number 3, you will see that Yeshayahu is continuing to use the language of the Torah to give his interpretation to his and to give us his prophecy. It's really almost the same language. But Yeshayahu is not stopping here. He is now repeating Parashat HaMelech, and you can see it on source number 4. Again, Yeshayahu is continue to explain Parashat HaMelech in new words, which is well connected to Sefer Dvarim. And I want to suggest you a way to understand the words of Yeshayahu, and it will become meaningful for understanding Jewish history, to understanding the time of Shlomo HaMelech, to understanding the time of Yeshayahu, and to understand the way that the Jewish state is supposed to be managed according to the Torah and according to the prophets. Yeshayahu lives in a very interesting time. He started to be a prophet on a very important day. The day which four major events happened. And the Jewish history was changed in this moment. First of all, the first event was a very strong earthquake. In the name of the prophet, Rash. A lot of noise. Noise in the meaning of what is going on in the field. And also a noise in the meaning of hearing the words of God. There is a message. And the message was that the temple, the center today of the Jews, the Jewish nation, the center in the future for all the world, is under a strong warning. It could be that the destruction is coming. And we know that after this event, his son needed to make renovations in the temple because of the damage from the earthquake. In the same moment of the earthquake, the powerful king, the so successful king, Uzziah, was the leader of all the Middle East, well known all over the world, lose his position. He got leprosy and he was kicked out from the temple. Third, Yeshayahu became a prophet. This, according to Chazal, was his first prophecy. And he saw Maaseh Merkava. The fourth one is that his colleague, Amos, stopped his prophecies. The end of Sefer Amos is the parallel parshiya to the first prophecy of Yeshayahu. You can compare it. And the world before these four events and after four events is completely different. And the question was, everyone asked himself, why? What is going on? What was wrong? And the answer was that Uzziahu, such a successful king, was a failure. He didn't fulfill Parashat HaMelech in the Torah. And he was not the first one. The first one was HaMelech Shlomo. HaMelech Shlomo was a huge opportunity, a golden opportunity to bring Geulah la'olam. But he failed. It could be that half of his days he was not a king. For sure, some days after he passed away, everything collapsed. Some years later, not a lot, his kingdom was destroyed by Pharaoh. Almost completely. I'm speaking about hundreds of cities who were destroyed by Pharaoh. Nothing remind from the huge, successful, wonderful, rich, strong kingdom of Shlomo HaMelech. And the question is why? And the answer of Yeshayahu is, he didn't manage the Jewish state according what the Torah is telling us. So, on the first part of the words of Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu is speaking regarding Shlomo HaMelech. Take a look at source number 3. The Torah is saying, "Rak lo yerbe lo susim." Shlomo HaMelech, "Vatimale arzo susim ve'ein ketzel lemarkevotav." We are speaking about tens of thousands of chariots and horses, something very, very significant in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. The second one is, "V'chesef v'zahav lo yerbe lo meod." סליחה, ולא ירבה לו נשים. 1,000 is for sure לא ירבה לו נשים. No question. What is the bottom line in the time of Shlomo HaMelech? ותמלא ארצו אלילים. Every foreign wife which he imported from other countries, from other kingdoms, established a center for idol worshiping in Yerushalayim, as all of you know, as it's written in a very clear way on Perek Yudalef of Sefer Melachim. וחסב וזהב לא ירבה לו מאוד? ישעיהו is telling us, ותמלא ארצו כסב וזהב ואין קצה לאוצרותיו. Who was the most richest king in the world? King Solomon, HaMelech Shlomo. And this was the reason that he failed. And now we are going to Uzziahu. Uzziahu was a copy of King Solomon. He was so powerful. He had such a strong army. He was so rich. And he also failed keeping the three mitzvot of Parashat HaMelech. Maybe more. Take a look at source number 4. Rak lo yerbe lo susim, it's parallel to ve'al kol migdal gavoa ve'al kol choma betzura. I will explain why. ולא ירבה לו נשים means be aware of idol worshiping. וחסב וזהב לא ירבה לו מאוד. The parallel is ועל כל אוניות תרשיש ועל כל שחיות חמדה. And now with your kind permission I will explain. Let's start with לא ירבה לו סוסים. We have two ways to manage the IDF. One is with women, one is without women. I'm not speaking about it. There are two ways to manage the IDF. One is to have a small, sophisticated, special army to make sure to take care about problems that you need to solve now, immediately. Your power is coming from the reserves units. Yes, it takes 72 hours to collect them, to bring them. But this is your army. You have a small number of soldiers, which is up, prepared for now. But to solve the huge problems, you have the reserves. You have another way of managing. To have what we call a professional Tzva Keva with chariots in this time. A chariot is a strong weapon. There is no any chance for infantry troops to fight against horses and chariots. Only if you have a special siyata dishmaya. And we are believe in miracles, we cannot depend on miracles. But what is the price? What is the price of having a strong, huge army with horses and chariots? It means that you cannot depend on the reserves units. Why? Because you cannot bring somebody from home to put him on an horse that it not belongs to him, that he didn't made a lot of imunim together, that they feel like family, that he is obeying to him in every situation, that he understand his moves immediately without speaking, even without moving. If this is not the situation, if this is not the relationship between the horse and the rider, the most dangerous place for the soldier is to be on the horse. But this means that this boy, 18 years old, who is going to the army, for the next 15, 20 years, he will not have a family. He will live in the army. He will come home once in some months. It's not like today. He will lose the influence of the old people of the family. Not to have a family is a big danger in the meaning of Yirat Shamayim and spirituality. I'm not speaking about Gaava and Kochiv Otzem Yadi. This is a bitter price, and this is what the Torah is telling us. Lo Yarbe Lo Susim means your policy regarding security of the land, of the state, is not to depend on Tzva Keva. It's to depend on Miluim. It's also an economic question. To pay salaries to hundreds of thousands of soldiers and to buy the chariots and to take care about them and about the horses, it means a huge, huge, huge budget. From where is the money coming? I will explain later. This is also a danger. The Torah is telling us, don't depend on Tzva Keva. Depend on Miluim. Don't depend on the permanent army. Depend on reserves units, like David HaMelech. And King Solomon, HaMelech Shlomo, he chose to change what his father did. And he built up a very strong, powerful army who was based on chariots and horses, with all the meanings of it. So the minister of defense, Sar HaBitachon, when he is asking himself how to manage Misrad HaBitachon according to Torah, this is the way. We cannot say that we depend on miracles, we don't need an army. We need an army. What we need to take in consider, what is the price for Tzva Keva Gadol? And Shlomo HaMelech and Uziyah didn't fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah. Both of them have a huge, huge permanent army. And the price was bitter. Second, וכסף וזהב לא ירבה לו מאוד. To pay the salaries to the officers, to the families, to the soldiers, you need a lot of money. The only way to make money is not to get a salary as a teacher. For sure. The only way to make money is to be a merchant. One of the most unsuccessful boys in my class, when we had a meeting of our all members of the class, he came with the most fancy car. We asked him, you didn't know how much is one and another one, and how do you make such money? And he gave a very simple answer. I'm buying for 10, selling for 100, make 10%, and it's enough. This is the only way. If a state wants to be rich, the only way is to sell companies for 15 billion. But the price of having a lot of merchants in the time of Shlomo HaMelech or in the time of Uzziyahu was to send your people outside to far places with ships. Try to imagine what happened to a Jewish sailor in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, or in the time of Uzziyahu, when his ship went out from Jaffa for a 3 years trip to Eilat. I made a very deep search. The Suez Canal didn't exist. So it took 3 years to go all over the Mediterranean, and then make a left turn on Gibraltar, make a left turn at Cape Town, and arriving after 3 years to Eilat. What is the meaning of being cut from your family for 3 years? And to land every few days in a new port with all the meanings of a port. And to celebrate with the locals their holidays. And there was no OU on this side, and not OCR. Think about the danger for the spiritual level of such a state. And if you really want your state to be rich, you need a lot of this. In this time, every piece of art was connected 100% to idol worship. How much influence came inside the kingdom of Shlomo HaMelech and Uzziyahu via these sailors? Yes, it gave him the opportunity to pay for the army. But what about the price? Please. Okay, Zvulun is not wants not to be rich, he wants to support his brother. First. Second, we are speaking about one tribe, not about all the nation. It's not the atmosphere. We need sailors. Lo yarbe. Lo yarbe means that this is not the atmosphere for everyone. And even today, it's very, very, very somebody is buying local stores or stores who are bringing things which was imported for us. Especially in this case, as the Av doesn't mean that he is in person will not be rich. It means that don't look to have a rich state. You need a state that everyone is living in dignity. Poverty is not good. But if the slogan of the country is let's be rich, it's a big danger. So, Lo yarbe lo kesev v'zahav is how to manage the economy of the state. It's not a private order. And we know that in every government, who is the most three important? Sarim, Misrad HaBitachon, Misrad HaOtzar, and Misrad HaChutz. Misrad HaChutz means lo yarbe lo nashim. Don't take a lot of wives, too much, is not a private or mitzvah. It says that yes, we want ambassadors in Yerushalayim, but we don't need 1,000. 18 is enough. A state without foreign affairs cannot be a modern development state. But the price for foreign affairs can be bitter, especially in the time of the prophets, when the way to open the new embassy is to take a foreign wife. This is the explanation for the 1,000 wives of Shlomo HaMelech. He wants to bring his influence of Avodat Hashem to everywhere and to have 1,000 embassies in Yerushalayim. But what was the bottom line? 1,000 embassies of idol worshippers. And this is the way that the Torah is telling us foreign affairs is good. You need connections. Without connections, your university will be the lowest level. Without connections, you are not safe. It's a good idea to be a part of all the nations. Yerushalayim will be the center of the world. But it doesn't mean that we need such a huge Misrad HaChutz with 1,000 ambassadors. And the only way to open a new embassy in the time of the Tanakh was by marriage. And it's not only in the old history. This was the custom even more than 100 years ago. Today, in some meanings, some weddings are also political weddings. Today it's changed. But the Torah is telling us how to manage Misrad HaChutz. This is the meaning of Lo yarbe lo nashim. It's not a private lesson. And this is the reason that Uzziah failed. Not because he had a lot of wives. Because, take a look on source number 4 on the chart, Rak lo yarbe lo susim is parallel ve'al kol migdal gavoa ve'al kol choma betzura. The towers, the walls, the special weapons which Uzziah developed became a symbol for all the world. Take a look on source number 9. Ve'iven Uzziah migdalim b'Yerushalayim ve'al shar ha'pina ve'al shar ha'gai ve'al ha'mikzoa v'yichaskem. The towers of Yerushalayim became famous in all the world as something that no one can take over. It was so strong. Take a look in the end of this paragraph. the last page, I'm reading from Pasuk Tetvav. ויעש בירושלים חשבונות מחשבת חושב להיות על המגדלים ועל הפינות, לירו בחיצים ובאבנים גדולות, ויצא שמו עד למרחוק כי יפליל להיעזר עד כי חזק. In every exhibition of new weapons, what was the top? The Israeli one. Everyone came to learn from Uzziahu how to build up a strong army. And his army was huge. Take a look in the beginning of source number 9. פסוק יוד א', ויהי לו עוזיהו חיל עושה מלחמה יוצא צבא לגדוד במספר פקודתם בידיאל הסופר ומעשיהו השוטר על יד חנניהו משרי המלך, על כל מספר ראשי אבות לגיבורי חיל 2,600, ועל ידם חיל צבא 300,000. 300 professional soldiers on the permanent army of עוזיהו. This is what Yeshayahu is calling, ועל כל מגדל גבוה ועל כל חומה בצורה. Let's go to the second mitzvah. ולא ירבה לו נשים ולא יסור לבבו. I'm reading from the chart on source number 4. What is the criticism of Yeshayahu in his language? ועל כל ארזי הלבנון הרמים והניסאים ועל כל אלוני הבשן. ועל כל הערים הרמים ועל כל הגבעות הניסאות. הערים הרמים והגבעות הניסאות, this language is the language of the Torah when the Torah is speaking regarding idol worshiping. Take a look at source number 8. עבד תעבדון את כל המקומות אשר עבדו שם הגויים אשר אתם יורשים אותם את אלוהיהם. Where? על הערים הרמים ועל הגבעות. In the language of ישעיהו, על כל הערים הרמים ועל כל הגבעות. The same language. And the Torah is warning us against what? Against the danger of idol worshiping. וכסף וזהב לא ירבה לו מאוד. What was the way of Uzziahu to bring his state to be rich? Take a look on the chart, on source number 4. וכסף וזהב לא ירבו למאוד, ועל כל אוניות תרשיש ועל כל שחיות החמדה. For sure, pottery from Greek was much better than the pottery of Jerusalem. But spirituality from Yerushalayim is much better than spirituality from Greek. Yeshayahu is speaking about the ships who are the tool to import merchandise from all over the world. It's okay to import. But lo yarbe lo meod. If this is changing the atmosphere, it's a big danger. So really, we can now conclude that Yeshayahu is teaching us how to learn Torah, and from both sources, we can learn how to manage a Jewish state, how to manage these three ministers, the Ministry of Defense, the Ministry of Treasures, and the Foreign Affairs Ministry. If someone have any questions, it will be my pleasure to try to answer. Please.
Is modern Israel following these precepts?
This is the question that we need to ask ourselves every day. Every day. It's good to have a strong army. It's good to have a strong economy. It's good to have strong relationships with many countries around, but not too many. Not too much is always a curse, chas v'chalila. And it's really something that needs to bother us, and every Israeli and every prime minister need to ask himself, what about the dangers from this situation if we are taking care about it? If we are taking care about the poor people? If we are taking care about the level of spirituality? All the things which was not good in the time of Uzziah. Really? Everything have two sides of the coin. And every time, everyone, in every point in his life, must ask himself if he is aware on the dangers for his position. And really, in many, many aspects, we are really very close to the time of Uzziah. And it means be careful, be aware, take care about the problems. Don't go all the way like Uzziah. Check yourself.
What are the mechanisms in Israel to check? Would you say democracy is
a... Democracy is a good tool. I think that in Israel there is a lot of attention to spiritualism. It's a lot of attention to what we call tzedek chevrati, social justice. We need, even though, to take care and to make sure that we are on the right direction. It's a danger, yes. And if we are aware of this danger, we can go farther. If not, to fall down, it's very easy. Chas v'chalila. Please.
No.
The meaning is no, it's good to have a lot of friends, but it's not good to have a lot of influence. And you know, it's much easier to bring to Israel from North America genes than values. And be aware about it. There are many, many good things outside of Israel. It's okay to import, but be aware what we are importing. Please.
It's interesting to me that you present that it's presented from Sefer Dvarim Yeshayahu as mostly a utilitarian philosophy. In other words, it makes sense, it's practical, it has social value, it has economic value, and so on. But surely the message of Dvarim is primarily a spiritual one. It's to be Shamelacha, be careful of Kochi Bo'atzem Yad, that primarily the issue is a spiritual rot, a spiritual weakness that we're very prone to become overcome by. If you want to say, so that's the way I would always have read the psukim to begin with. It's interesting to hear it from the purely utilitarian standpoint. It makes sense. But surely the antidote is a spiritual antidote.
For sure. We agree about it. Everything starts... Learning Torah. This is the only way. Please.
For each Torah, the Baruch Shem Leilam promises us, among other things, if we're faithful to him, lots and lots of wealth. And when Israel left Mitzrayim, we say that they got tons of wealth from Mitzrayim, and then at the Yom Suf, they got more than they even got from Mitzrayim. So,
okay, wealth is really good. Too wealth is a danger. And the question is if the wealth is a tool or the wealth is the target. And the answer is very clear. If it's only a tool and it's not too much, it's okay. Poverty is not a good thing. Okay, Toda Rabba, if you want to go more inside, you are more than invited to read it on the book.